Welcome back to the Content That Grows podcast. I'm your host, Nate Turner. And today I'm joined again by Ryan Sargent, VP of Content Strategy for 10Speed. How's it going, Ryan?
Good. Excited to be back.
Yeah, me too. So what is authority content and why do you need it? That's really what we're going to be digging into today. And, you know, I think just to jump right in, let's just go ahead and talk about what authority content is and make sure we define that up front to be really clear.
I think authority content is a better way of speaking or describing what most people would call thought leadership. Thought leadership's, right, I think, become a little bit of a nonsense word. Like, you ask 10 people, what is thought leadership? And you're going to get 10 different answers. And then if you go ask 10 people who aren't marketers, who are CEOs or influencers or podcast hosts, you're going to get 10 more answers. And we've seen that with clients who have talked to us about thought leadership or producing thought leadership content or how should we strategize around thought leadership. And inevitably, when we start asking the follow-up questions, the definition of thought leadership changes a little bit. And ultimately, for me, the overarching single definition is this is content that's designed to drive brand authority, designed to drive influence with a specific audience, designed to highlight specific beliefs and values in a field or domain, and contributes to that industry or that community in some way. And that is fundamentally different than content that is designed to bring in acquisition or revenue from a specific channel. I think a lot of people talk about this as SEO content. That's become a little bit of a bad word. There's nothing wrong with SEO content. It is content that is specifically designed to drive traffic and conversion from organic search.
Yep.
That's great. There's a place for that. It's not authority content. It has a different job and a different name.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that, point of view content is probably another like term that I've heard before that really kind of fits into here. And I think that there's just a lot that goes there. And so, we didn't certainly coin the term, but I think we really kind of gravitated towards the authority content labeling of this, you know, what we're doing and in our service around this, just because that's really what our ultimate goal is just establishing authority. You know, I often talk about, like, you talk to any startup founder, they will often tell you, like, we want to be the biggest name in our space. We want to be the authority on X or whatever. And that's a long process that happens over time. You build up brand, you build up that authority. But there's certainly a lot of things that happen early on. In the very beginning, it's typically the founder is the one just sort of putting their thoughts out there and really kind of putting a stake in the ground or differentiating from status quo or whatever it might be. But then as teams get bigger, marketing starts to happen more. There's just a lot of different things going on. I think that it becomes less clear how that happens inside of a company or who's responsible. The CEO is far too busy to be the only one doing it. And so that becomes a bit more up in the air. And like you said, sort of the definitions of thought leadership kind of swirl around and mean many different things. So, you know, for us, that authority content that you defined that really is kind of our perspective on that as we kind of dig into this topic today.
Yeah. And it's been exciting to kind of build this out and start producing it in a way that feels structured and organized and contributes to a larger content strategy. Many companies need many kinds of content. There's no one perfect tool for this, and a content strategy should incorporate lots of stuff. And this is an important piece of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in the past, we've kind of dug into really the details around, the elements of, overall organic strategy and what makes a good content brief. Like, we kind of like to dig in on some of the more specifics around it. So I think, would love to kind of dig in and just start there. You know, we say authority content, you've defined it a little bit, but like what actually makes for a good piece of authority content? Like, what are some of the key elements within that?
Yeah, I think there's some like tactical things to keep in mind. And then there are also some, I mean, for lack of a better word, like content things, like what is this about, subject matter type things to keep in mind. Tactically, or in terms of like the form, keeping a bite size is important. Unless you're operating within a medium that specifically allows for long form content, this isn't a chance to write your 100-page manifesto about everything that is wrong in RevOps, for example. Mm-hmm. It's a chance to provide a really concise, clear point of value for people who should care. There's little things, right? Like an article that's about some very niche topic that zeroes in on one very particular point and says to an audience that is already deeply engrossed in this topic, I see you. I'm addressing this one careful point. Yeah. That might be 100 words on social media. It might be 1,000 words on a blog. It might be a podcast episode. You customize some of that creation for the channel, but the point is that there's a clear beginning, middle, and an end, and it's bite size. It's one thing. It's also important that it be zero click. This is a term that's become more and more popular in the content world, and for good reason. Yeah. No one has the time or patience to give your website some stat in GA4 to access this content. You need to serve it up where people are at, and you need to account for that when you build the content and when you strategize the content. People talk about thought leadership, authority content with all sorts of words, you know, to get into more of the subject matter. They talk about how it needs to be engaging, authentic. All of these things are tough to define, but what they're really saying is that this topic matters to a very particular group of people. Mm-hmm. And that group of people is probably smaller than the entire target audience for my business. It's certainly smaller than giant group of people that are represented in search volume on the internet. I think that one of the rules of thumb is you need to have a genuinely held belief that you're excited about speaking to.
Yes.
You have to actually own this thing if you're going to call it authority content.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that to me is probably the biggest component of it all, you know, is that like strong belief and perspective on things, and becomes a really interesting factor that you don't necessarily want to force it. You know, you don't want to be like, hey, we need to do one every single week, you know, and let's build a roadmap. Like a lot of times it's reactive to something that just happened within your industry or you know, a newer development or like newer launch within your company or whatever it might be. But I do think, you know, there's so many still today, and I think, you know, potentially with AI supporting development and like software development and whatnot, you could actually have this more where just people can spin up companies pretty easily, just kind of like small bootstrap startups, and you know, easily clone something and make it for a different vertical or whatever. And it's purely just about replicating what already works. And then that, you know, and then they can do the same thing on the SEO side and they can kind of replicate that. But what they can't beat you on is that component of, well, I actually don't have any strong beliefs. I don't actually have a perspective on this stuff. I just created it, you know, as a cash grab. Whereas, you know, you truly have that feeling, and speaking to those is what tends to resonate, like you said, with a really small subset. But then that's where the authority part comes in, is people respect that you were willing to share your point of view and that you were, that you have one, and that they, you know, agree with your perspective, and therefore then look at your SaaS product or your service or whatever differently, because they know fundamentally this company is sort of marching towards software development and building these things that I need with the same point of view, or, you know, point of view that I share anyway. So I agree. I think that to me is probably one of the biggest parts of it, is just actually having that belief in something and a strong perspective.
I guess we'll probably get into this more a little later, but like, this is the new moat. We've talked about content strategy as providing a moat around your marketing and your product positioning and your product market fit to some extent. And mm-hmm. this point of view, this authority content, is rapidly becoming the new moat. And I think, I mean, hot take, but like in the world of AI, this is going to be the only moat. Like,
yeah,
saying something that's been said before doesn't represent something that you can truly own in the same way anymore.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the other point you made earlier around like what makes it good is like it isn't just, you know, bylines you're pitching to Forbes or, you know, some sort of industry pub or whatever. And it's not just blog posts. Like, yes, at the end of the day, like this podcast we're doing is very much accomplishing that. Like it's, hey, we actually feel like we have a lot to say on, you know, a lot of things around SaaS marketing and content marketing and SEO. And, you know, we have experiences and we have good relationship with guests. And there's a lot of different things that it's just too, it doesn't make sense in the blog post format to try to, you know, cover these things, but it is stuff that we want to talk about because we have a perspective, we have beliefs around some of these things. And we, I can assure you, we do not have, you know, tens of thousands of subscribers and, you know, listens on the podcast and everything. It is a small subset of our target audience. But you know, if you are listening to this, like that is a huge part of it, is just knowing that it's resonating with you for some reason. And maybe you don't agree with us and that's fine, but maybe you do and that's fine too. So yeah, I think there's a lot there.
It's not lost on me that this is very meta. We're recording a piece of authority content right now about authority content. And that's where like, I have some strong opinions about this. I feel passionate about this, and that's why it's worth recording, right? I'm not, I don't want to just regurgitate something about thought leadership that you could read on any old LinkedIn post. I want to say something new, and that's the right motivation for creating it in the first place. Yeah. I think we were talking about like, a little bit about what makes it good. And if you can find little things that the, if you know, you know, moments are so key. I'm thinking, so I play in a wedding band. One of the things that like, you don't really appreciate about a wedding venue until you've been in a wedding band is that you got to have a green room. The band doesn't want to sit there in front of the guests. That's weird.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
if I were a wedding venue, that would be like thought leadership, right? Like we have a dedicated green room. We take care of our vendors. Mm. That's not obvious. That's not easy. But anybody who's lived it reads that or experiences that piece of content, and you've built instant trust and credibility in a way that is like impossible to forget. And that's the kind of little nugget that you can structure. That's not one piece of content, right? That nugget is 3, 4, 5 pieces of content all at once, all of which will be distributed differently, all of which will form part of a larger strategy, none of which are designed to bring in revenue from Google.
Totally. Yep. I agree. So with that, you know, you mentioned SEO content earlier. I do think one really important part, and this is, you know, a huge part of stuff we've talked about internally, things we talk about with clients, is there's not a dividing line between, it doesn't have to be just SEO content or authority content. And I think that a lot of what we do on the SEO side when optimized for search is still heavily leaning into the authority content side, you know, as much as we can with clients. So I do think that's important to kind of just talk about like how the lines are kind of being blurred there, you know, and the, again, kind of, sorry, this is kind of a long setup, but you talked about AI and the moat. And so then there's like also this aspect of, you know, AI can really spit out the facts of a topic, but, when you're able to optimize something and cover the topic, but also integrate the unique perspective and the belief, you know, around the topic, then I think it becomes much more powerful and unique. And so I would love to kind of hear you share a bit more about like the blurred lines there between authority content and SEO content.
I've been looking forward to this part.
Yeah.
Particularly since I'm now agency side and have spent so much of my career in-house. Agencies are setting these two things up in opposition, and it's because they have skin in the game. Mm-hmm. An agency that specializes in authority content wants you to focus on authority content, and an agency that's only capable of producing SEO content is going to ignore authority content. And I'm going to toot our own horn here. I think one of 10Speed's greatest strengths is that we do both, and we look at both, and we build a strategy around what a business needs, pulling from both as necessary. There's also no excuse for building something that it doesn't meet a minimum standard on either side of that divide. So mm-hmm. we do SME and add subject matter expertise and unique point of view to what we would consider SEO content, because we're calling it SEO content because of the business result we're trying to drive.
Right.
It is no longer possible to drive business results with content designed for search that doesn't have a unique point of view, that doesn't have that subject matter expertise. At the same time, it's not like you shouldn't look to repurpose, reuse, recycle authority content to distribute it in different ways to different audiences. All of the same methods and techniques that you applied to the content that used to be for search engines can be applied to authority content. And that's where the line is really getting blurred. And I'm so proud that we are on the cutting edge of using that in the most effective way.
Yeah, and I think about it as you're right. There are people out there saying, you know, that they're separate, they're different. This is just SEO. This piece is just intended for search, which is ridiculous. And then there are other people that are kind of like, oh, you know, stop writing for search engines. SEO is ridiculous. You should only write, you know, the authority content and speak to that. And the reality is, I think that all optimized content can be authority content. Maybe not all, most, to the point of blurring that line that it can be both. Not all authority content can or should be optimized for search. There are certainly things like a podcast or just something you want to write it, you know, 1,000 words on without any concern for the topic, or, you know, write on LinkedIn. That should all be good and part of the strategy. But
yeah,
there's no reason to say, well, this is just for search. Like, you should still be able to inject your perspective into a topic and something that's optimized to rank and, like you said, kind of drive that particular business outcome.
This is an idea I've talked about with a content marketer I really respect, Mark Rogers. You start with the idea that you want to communicate, and then you build the content to support distribution on the channels that represent your audience.
Yep.
So you can come up with that idea of that message that you want to communicate in a bunch of different ways. Maybe it's to support a go-to-market plan. Maybe it's through keyword research. I wouldn't do only one of these things, any of them, by the way. Maybe it's through voice of customer interviews. Maybe it's through sales enablement research. Maybe it's through genuinely passionate thought leadership opinions, you know, this kind of authority building stuff that your CEO or founder feels strongly about. You align on this message, and then it's actually, to me, a little bit of an extension of this like cluster strategy. Like, we're going to build everything we need to build about this topic. And yeah, we'll build this 1800 word post that's designed to rank for this, this, and this. And then we're also going to develop a month long social strategy around this topic and distribute it over here, and also right. put it in a sponsored newsletter or talk about it on a podcast. And now you're owning that space of that topic in a way that one of these content types or angles wouldn't have allowed you to do before. And that's the power of the authority content. You're not boxed in that way. You have a lot more room to maneuver.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I guess for folks who are, you know, currently operating, thinking about, like, they have a clear path or just understanding of, like, organic is an important channel for us. We're, you know, creating a roadmap with topics. We want to create content that's optimized for search. And, you know, if they can blend in the authority aspect of it, that's great. But just in general, like, would love to make sure we cover why it's important that authority content is part of the overall strategy, and not just, well, we're just going to go for search because that's already a high performing channel, or we're going to do search, but just weave it in. Like, why does it deserve a kind of a standalone place within your strategy as well?
I think there was a time in the not too distant past where you could plug and play a pretty generic SEO strategy and make that your primary acquisition channel and kind of fire and forget a little bit. And I don't think that we're there today anymore.
Right.
SEO is still a wildly powerful acquisition channel. SEO is not dead. Organic search remains hugely important. I think it is the cornerstone of many content strategies for good reason. It works. Mm-hmm. That's not enough anymore. You have to supplement in a really wise way and make SEO the adjunct to your strategy, right? Like you can, there's lots of ways to slice and dice this, but marketing is evolving and influence is becoming even more powerful, right? We didn't talk about influencers 10 years ago. We did talk about SEO, and authority content represents that source of influence in, I think, a much more direct path. There's a tighter connection between the content and your audience in the context of that influence than, say, for SEO today. I also think that, like, the job to be done of brand marketing hasn't changed. Like, we talk about Mad Men and billboards and TV commercials and all this stuff. Yep. And that's, like, fundamentally brand authority content. And now your brand authority content looks like a founder LinkedIn post. And that's okay. Like, the form has changed. The substance has changed. The motivation and fundamental goal has not. So I think from that perspective, why is it important to have authority content? Because you're doing the same work that the billboard was doing 50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. It's a good way to put it. And it's, to me, I think that's the biggest part is there are certainly companies, you know, it's an easy trap, especially when you're early, very early stage, don't have a ton of bandwidth. Like you say, what's your marketing strategy? Kind of go over everything, but like ultimately the marketing strategy is essentially just, you know, content for search and like heavily dependent on organic search, maybe a little bit paid in there or something, but there's not a lot to it. So, you know, it's important to remember that like that aspect is kind of all underneath the larger umbrella of content marketing, and content marketing is under the larger umbrella of marketing. And it's like, this is very complimentary, but to your point, just in some ways, just good brand marketing and, you know, building awareness and establishing your voice in the space and all that stuff that, that is just necessary of having a good, you know, marketing mix or, you know, all those like classic, you know, basic business school kind of concepts that are still important to make sure you're not getting too heavily focused in one area and really bouncing it out and thinking about different points of the buyer journey and all that kind of stuff.
And with the state of the world in 2024, it's never been harder to just throw VC dollars at the problem and up your paid spend and fix your marketing problems. So
right. Yeah.
Like some of those basic or fundamental business school concepts, I think apply even more now. There are fewer get out of jail cards.
Yeah. I agree. Totally. So real quick, I do want to touch on maybe some of the differences with distribution. And so obviously we already talked about authority content can take on, you know, there are quite a few different media that it could live in. So that kind of obviously changes the discussion a little bit around distribution. But yeah, just like make sure we hit on that important part of, again, kind of how it fits together and how you might be thinking about distribution for authority content specifically.
Yeah, it's a lot of the stuff that digital marketers are already aware of that has taken a backseat to search over the past decade. Like newsletters, your newsletter, this kind of content often represents great retention angles because mm-hmm. you're showing your existing audience that you care about them. You understand their business. You, right. You're building the same trust approaching renewal that you were with acquisition. So, newsletters are great. There's also sponsored and external newsletters. That's a great way to distribute the content.
Yep.
Look at partnerships and sponsorships in terms of a paid distribution angle for this content, but also there's plenty of ways to do it organically. And I think social is the biggest one. this stuff has a natural home on social. It's really contributes easily to that zero click option. It makes it bite size almost by default. Like the platform doesn't allow it to not be bite sized in many cases.
Yep.
So this is, I think, now the basic building block of a B2B social strategy is authority content. This should be your bread and butter. I think everyone listening to this podcast is probably well aware, right, that individuals get better reach on LinkedIn than companies. Like, we don't need to go into the details, all of that, but like,
you totally
post the stuff and post it through the authority, not through your brand.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's great. You hit on a lot of the main things that are worth discussing without getting into a lot of edge cases. But I think the important thing I want to just call out is like, that what you just described is a very clear diversification from organic search is our distribution. And I think that so many people miss like SEO is important to us, organic is important to us, but miss that like it is a distribution channel at the end of the day. And so I think that that's really key, that what you just described is a great way to diversify beyond that and make sure that you're catching people, because you know, as do I and anyone else listening, like that's not the only place that you get exposed to things and learn about things and whatnot. So there are, you know, social channels and people telling you about it and Slack communities and all these different things, podcasts you listen to, newsletters you subscribe to, all become means for discovery and influence and learning about things, and not just when you think to search for it. So I think there's a lot there. I think, you know, before we kind of wrap up on the last part of it, I just wanted to say, like, you know, as we're creating authority content for our clients, I mean, this is a big part of why we wanted to add this in as an additional content type and thing that we can do for companies, is because one, we're already doing a lot of it on the content that's created for search. Like, we are already hitting all of the elements you mentioned, SME and, you know, that perspective and all that. But also just felt like it's a really powerful way to enhance a content strategy. Like I said before, a lot of people don't necessarily have the motion, you know, outside of a very early stage. They don't know who should be doing it, how. And so I think that allows us to kind of support and drive it forward for them and kind of make it clear and help execute on all of it. So really been, you know, excited to have that be part of our content offerings and just the way that we can kind of help diversify there. So real quick, I just want to kind of summarize and then I'll let you kind of wrap up. But I think, you know, as a company is thinking about authority content and where that's at, you know, a few of the things we talked about, they're needed, you know, just a point of view, firm opinion, a belief that you can really feel committed to sharing and standing behind, a willingness to stay the course. And like, it's not just, oh, I'm going to do this once or twice, you know, a year. And again, I don't think it's the opposite is either. I said before, you shouldn't be trying to be like, let's do this every week, but just understand that it's you're building authority over a multiple year outlook and not something that you're going to just see spike in your GA data or something. Willingness to kind of commit to that over the long haul, distribution plan, the things you kind of hit on briefly, and then just generally, you know, repurposing plan. Maybe I'll kind of tee that up for you to kind of share some final thoughts too. And just like, on the repurposing side, kind of how we can do more with that.
I'll combine all of my final comments with like a really concrete example there.
Perfect.
I think one of the secret sneaky distribution channels for this kind of authority content is events. And that's a perfect example of repurposing. It also means that you're going to get really great field testing of, does this opinion resonate with my audience? And one way to kind of get started or pick a topic off the pile to go first is look at, what do you believe is hard in your industry? What do you believe is easy? What do you think is changing fast? And having a conversation about those things at an event, virtual or in person, often leads to great conversations. So
yep.
Now you're repurposing perhaps what started as an email newsletter or a podcast episode. You're turning it into content that's fueling conversations at an event. You're redistributing that content at a live conference, and you're proving to that audience that you're resonating because you have essentially a talking prompt. You're saying that, like, this is what's hard and I understand you. Yeah. So all of that together, I think, is a great example of the kinds of things you need to get started and kind of how to first start slicing and dicing kind of those elements into place.
Yep. Yep. Perfect. Awesome. Well, this was great. I'm glad we kind of got to go over this. And, you know, as you said, adding the service in for us has been a really great addition, and just feels nice to have a way to kind of complement a lot of what we're doing in other areas. And obviously has been this kind of the product of a lot of conversations around this. So it was kind of cool to be able to carve out an episode here to really just kind of dig in and share a lot of the perspective on all the different aspects of authority, you know, what it is, why it's important, all that stuff. So yeah, I think we'll go ahead and wrap that up there. If you want to listen to other episodes, check out 10speed.io/podcast. We have them all there. Make sure to like and subscribe on your platform of choice, and we'll wrap it up there. Thanks so much, Ryan, for your time today.